local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Members of the House of Representatives departed Washington for the weekend without coming to an agreement on a new spending measure. Hard-right conservatives want deeper cuts, and all of this means a government shutdown is likely next month. ABC's Mary Alice Parks has more.
This town is bracing for a government shutdown that seems more and more likely. The Office of Management and Budget at the White House has started telling federal agencies to make their formal plans in the event that that should happen.
The auto workers' strike expanded Friday. Workers took action at 38 Stellantis and GM facilities in 20 states. UAW members say they're calling for better pay and benefits. The car makers say they're asking for too much. Over 53,000 power outages in Virginia and North Carolina as Tropical Storm Ophelia moves through the region. It's heading north with heavy rain and strong winds. And Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey says he will not resign from the Senate day after he was indicted on federal bribery charges. This is ABC News. The lower Mississippi River region is being impacted by a saltwater incursion into the river. It's being blamed on extreme drought conditions over the last few months. The mayor of New Orleans signed an emergency declaration on Friday for the city, saying it continues to work with local and state partners. Grief counselors were on campus Friday at a high school on New York's Long Island after two people were killed in a bus crash Thursday. ABC's Stefan Kim is in Farmingdale, New York.
Lost in the crash were the heart and soul of this family, 43-year-old Gina Pelletieri, a single mother of a 2-year-old and the school's beloved band leader, and 77-year-old Beatrice Ferrari, a longtime band chaperone. Daniel Aldieri is her son-in-law.
My younger son is a junior. She wanted to do it for one more year to see him as a senior, but she never got that opportunity.
NTSB investigators meanwhile revealing that some of the passengers were ejected. They haven't, though, determined how or how many.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Vice President Kamala Harris will campaign at the University of Wisconsin in Madison early next month. Young voters are expected to have a lot to say about next year's election. Mike Mohn reports.
The Brookings Institution says by the 2028 presidential election, people under the age of 45 will serve as the majority of U.S. voters. At the Alliance for Youth Action, Dakota Hall says young voters want transformational change and won't be satisfied unless there are what he describes as sweeping reforms relating to democracy.
These are folks who went to high school and witnessed nothing but news coverage on their different social media feeds of like dysfunction of government shutdowns and then a global pandemic, right? And so they've seen the worst of what this country can be.
For more progressive young voters, nearly 2 in 3 see safeguarding abortion access as a top priority. Those identifying as more conservatives see bringing inflation under control as their top issue. Michael Hayes, a former consultant, says political attitudes and party identification tend to be formalized by young voters in their late teens and early 20s. He adds a family's political values will influence a young person, but also notes political events can also shape their outlook.
Many of them may identify initially as independents, but they lean toward one party or another. But once the attitudes are formed and once people begin to use them in their political behavior and their voting, they tend to firm up pretty consistently.
Meanwhile, Brookings Institution researchers point out that younger Americans are tilting the electoral playing field strongly toward Democrats. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Mino and the Mayor.
We're talking with Tony Mandrich. You're talking about your alcohol problems. Jim kind of mentioned here during the break. He said, yeah, the coaches didn't do anything about it. And I said, didn't do anything about it. They were with the guys.
I mean, nobody forced anybody to drink. Drinking was just part of it. And it was kind of like that stereotype of, you know, being a guy or being an athlete, or it was just part of that.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Today, I am speaking with guest Lindsay Pinchuk. Lindsay was working for one of the largest magazine publishing houses in the world. For 10 years, she created and sold integrated marketing programs to some of the biggest brands in the world. With just a $500 investment, Lindsay left her job she loved so much to start her first company. She turned a profit in year one and created a unique partnership with Target, Nordstrom, The Honest Company, Seventh Generation, Huggies, and Ulta, just to name a few. Bootstrapping the company and never taking an outside investment, Lindsay grew the company to seven figures in year-over-year revenue using her signature sweep method. Following a successful exit, Lindsay is now a consultant, coach, public speaker, and teacher, working with businesses both large and small to ignite their brand awareness. And the reason I really wanted to have Lindsay on a show for caregivers is because I know a lot of caregivers struggle between work and their caregiving duties. Many caregivers have to reduce their hours or leave the workforce altogether. I myself traded in a meaningful career to take care of my son. I'm not sure if I ever shared that on the air before, but I worked 23 years as a real estate appraiser. Didn't at all match my personality type or what I enjoyed. It was just something that had flexible hours. I could work from home. I could take care of my son. So that's what I did. It is a choice that many women feel like they have to choose between either caregiving and raising kids or work. And with the great work exodus that took place during the COVID-19 pandemic, I think a lot of people began to explore what working for yourself might look like. One, out of necessity, because they didn't have the support in place that they needed to continue working. And two, because technology really has come through and showed us what's possible besides leaving the house and going to work for someone else. So thank you so much for being here, Lindsay. I shared this earlier, but I have to say I've been obsessed with your podcasts. I think I've listened to 4 in 2 days while walking my dogs. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if they love me or if they hate me at the moment. Like, what is going on? But I have enjoyed every minute of the podcast, and I've already learned so much. And there's even one I'm like, I got to go back and listen to this again with pen and paper. So thank you. And thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that very generous introduction.
Yes, and I cannot wait to learn from all of your wisdom and experience. But before we dig in, can you tell listeners what made you leave your dream job and start your own business?
Yeah, so I kind of started a business on accident. There was no plan. I never intended on becoming an entrepreneur. I loved my job. I worked at Good Housekeeping. And I loved my clients. I loved my team. I'm still close with my team from 15 years ago. And, you know, and I was pregnant. I got pregnant and we were living in Chicago and I didn't have any friends who were pregnant around me and my family did not live here. And I said to my husband, I really need to find a community who I can be pregnant with and we can introduce our kids to and, you know, make friends who are family essentially. And so I started hosting events for parents and expectant parents in Chicago. This was in 2010. It was before social media. So it was really just, I sent an email and I said, I'm going to have a prenatal workout and I'm going to have a shopping event. And people started coming and people really started coming by the droves, to be honest. And one thing kind of led to another and the events got bigger. We started bringing in speakers. We started holding events for moms once I had my daughter. And when I went back to work following maternity leave, so the first year of my business, I was pregnant and I was hosting these events two or three a month. And then I was also working. And when I went back to work after maternity leave, I had gotten a new boss and my new boss did not have children. She was past childbearing age and she was really not nice to me, to be very honest. And she said, you know, if I find out you're doing your side hustle on my time, then there's going to be consequences. I was a very big performer. I always exceeded my goal. And at the end of the day, I looked at my husband and I said, this woman's going to make my life a nightmare. And I think I should just give this a try. I can always come back. And I said to him, what's the worst that happens? And that's really my litmus test for everything. What's the worst that happens? I can't make this work. And I get another job and I come back to corporate America. And so that's really what made me take the leap. And so I did. And I never looked back.
I love that. What's the worst that can happen? I've got to use that. I'm going to incorporate that more because I'm a little chicken. I'm a little chickenish and I need to get out of that. So, but you know, starting a new business seems like it would be all encompassing. So what does balance look like as a caregiver or a mom entrepreneur?
I don't really use the word balance, to be honest. And those who have followed me for a really long time, you know this because I say this a lot. And I never want anyone to feel like they have to live up to a certain expectation. And I never want anyone to see me and think, I have this huge, you know, balance going on. And I don't. There really is no balance. Like when I work, I work. When I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids. Right now, I'm in a place where we used to have a caregiver and who lived with us. We had an au pair for years. You know, over the course of 10 years, we probably had like 10 au pairs. And we decided last year to not do that anymore because my kids are getting older and they didn't want someone living in the house with us anymore. And they were done to move on. They were ready to move on from that experience. And so I'm in a season right now where we gave up our caregiver and I'm trying to figure out, I don't use the word balance, but I'm trying to figure out what this looks like for me. And so that means right now that I block off my schedule from 3 to 5 every day, sometimes 3 to 6. You know, I really just try to take it as it comes and know that it will get done. And oftentimes, especially right now, I do come back to my computer in the evening once my kids go to bed. But I am the type of person that I function really well at night and not so well in the morning. So I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, especially those with kids who get up at like 5 in the morning and will do 2 hours of work before their kids wake up. I do that work when my kids go to bed. And so that's really kind of how I try to get everything done. But I think that balance is an unrealistic expectation for a mom, for an entrepreneur or a caregiver.
I totally agree. And you know what I was thinking? Maybe we should replace that word balance with boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, if you can create boundaries that you can live in, so you're not working at your kids' soccer games and so on and so forth, then you got it. You know, that is kind of your balance, just creating.
And I do.
Yeah.
I do. I do create boundaries just, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but yep. I think it's so important to have those boundaries. And I do tell my clients, like, I'm not working on this day or I'm leaving at 3 o'clock. And I do stick to those boundaries.
And I think most people respect that.
Mm-hmm. Especially now coming like since everything with COVID.
Definitely. Well, you know, a lot of women put a lot of pressure on themselves to try to do it all. And then they put a lot of blame on themselves because they can't do everything, which wasn't realistic to begin with. So as a working mom or caregiver, Lindsay, how do you do it all? It's all I want to know, Lindsay. Just tell me, how do you do it all?
So that the thing is that I don't do it all. And so there are two things really that kind of come along with this. The first is I ask for help. And I've gotten a lot better at asking for help. Like, I used to never want to ask for help. I think a lot of women who are moms, and especially women who are entrepreneurs and who are moms, are wired to work in a way that we don't like to ask for help. But I have gotten a lot better at asking for help from my neighbors, from my friends, from my husband, from my mom. I'm going to New York for a business trip next week, and I asked my mom to come in to help out my husband because, you know, he has to work from 3 to 6 every day. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing when it comes to doing it all is I don't do it all, but I do what I'm doing when I'm doing it, if that makes sense. So like when I'm working, I'm working. And when I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids. And granted, my kids are older now. They're almost 13 and almost 10. So they need different kind of attention from me than they did, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But I don't do it all. And that is really, I think social media has us in a place right now where we look at women and we see women on Instagram and on Facebook and on TikTok, and we think that they're doing it all, but no one's really doing it all. So you kind of have to like push that out of your head.
That makes perfect sense. And the more I'm thinking about it, what does do it all even mean? And there's no reason to put that kind of pressure on you. And I love that you honor what you're doing when you're doing it, because that is key. And, you know, after this commercial break, we're going to talk more about how to get a business off the ground with social media and by engaging your community, which I love to learn more about the community aspect. But first, I want to ask you, what is the number one piece of advice that you would give to women starting a business?
To just get started. Honestly, I think if you have an idea, you need to start talking about that idea and letting people know what you want to do and what your goals are and getting feedback. And once you put it out into the world, it really holds you more accountable to take it to the next step. And it's never going to be like the best time. It's never going to be ready. Your website's never going to be perfect. But if you don't start, then you're never going to know if you can go anywhere. And I would say, and I know we're going to talk about my podcast later, I mean, I've interviewed some huge female founders, and I would say that is the number one thing that so many of my guests say as well, is just get started. And I've always said that, like, you just have to get started.
Well, I'm so glad that you said a lot of the female founders really live by that just get started, because I was starting to think that maybe my husband found you and like paid you to say that, because I've had these dreams and I've had these goals, and you know, he is just like, just get started. If I have to hear next year about your big dream, I can't support it. I'm frustrated. Just do it, Liza, just do it. So I've been talking with Lindsay Pinchuk, who is a successful entrepreneur, consultant, and coach, and working with businesses both large and small to ignite their brand awareness. When we come back, we're going to talk about growing your business using your community.
Hey y'all, this is Ronte, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich is the pimento cheese. I was like, go cheese, go pimento, go honey, go get it.
Hi, this is Chantrese, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich is the mild spiciness of the pickled jalapenos. No, it's the crispy chicken. Actually, I can't decide. It's the entire sandwich.
Order the honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Available for a limited time. Real Chick-fil-A guests paid for their testimonials.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today I'm talking with Lindsay Pinchuk, a successful entrepreneur who now works with businesses to ignite their brand awareness. Lindsay is also the host of Dear Found Her, which has episodes on every topic you could possibly think of when it comes to building your own business. Lindsay not only uses her own wisdom and knowledge, but interviews some of the most successful women entrepreneurs out there. So before the break, we covered some of the basics that you know before starting a business. The biggest takeaway that I got is just get started. Just get started. But what I would like to learn about in this segment is the community. So, Lindsay, can you tell me more about the importance of building a community?
Yeah. So my first business was a community first and a business second. And, you know, it was I was hosting events for expectant parents and parents, and I showed up as an expectant parent myself and kind of just shared what I was going through. And I realized that I needed that community around me in order to, you know, thrive and be a good parent and then eventually a good entrepreneur and mom. And what I realized over the course of time, so now it's been almost 14 years. No, it has been 14 years since it's been almost 15 years, I think, since I started the business. I realized that your community as a business, as a brand, as a company is really your number one asset, because your community is not only your customers who transact, but they're your customers who spread the word. They're the people who tell other people about what it is that you're doing. You can look to your community for feedback or for information or to run a product or a service or a price or, you know, market research. They give you a lot of information. And so I have realized that you want to build a community around your brand. But, you know, I want to say this as well, because your community is not just obviously important to your business. It's important to your life. So like, I have a community, of course, with my business, but I have a really great community in my life as a mom and, you know, as a working mom living outside of Chicago. So your communities are always going to be important, because all those things that I just said that apply to business, they apply to your life too.
And how do you build that community?
So the first thing, especially when it comes to, I mean, and again, this is like in business and in life, right?
Right.
Show up as yourself, because at the end of the day, you want to attract the right people. So if you're showing up as someone who's not authentically you, then you're going to all of a sudden be surrounded by people who you don't really want to be surrounded by. So when I started Bump Club, you know, like I said, I showed up, I was pregnant. I was like, oh my God, my stomach itches and my ankles are fat. And does anyone else have this? And I shared the ups and the downs of being pregnant. And I was very honest and forthcoming. And it was a way to connect. And that's how what I do now on social media. Like on social media now, I show up as a mom. I show up as a working mom. I show up as an entrepreneur, as a founder. And I share the ups and downs. And when you are vulnerable and you share things that are true to you, to yourself, and you are authentic about sharing it, and you don't sugarcoat everything, people gravitate towards you. And community is engagement, right? So when you start putting things out into the world and people start responding to you, you need to engage back with them. And that's, it's really, it's not an overnight thing. Of course, it takes time. But I mean, that's kind of the basics in terms of starting to build a community.
And what do you do to engage with your community? What does that look like?
So, I mean, especially for me right now online and on social media and previously when I owned my company Bump Club, I mean, a big part of engagement was not only focusing on your product, on you, on your service, but, you know, really meeting your target customer and that community where they are, right? So like when I was talking to expectant parents at Bump Club, it wasn't always just about me and it wasn't always about our events. It was about expectant parents and what are they dealing with and what do they need help solving. Right now for me, it's entrepreneurs and female founders, female, especially female founded small businesses. There are so many ups and downs that come with owning your own small business. So I talk about things that I know this community wants and needs, and I hopefully will solve their problems through my content. When you do that, they start responding to you and conversing with you, and it becomes a two-way street.
I love that. And I was listening to one today with Danielle, is it Tomel? I can't think of her
name. Danielle Robe.
Yes, about I can't remember the word that you used, if it was being real or not being fake. And I thought, well, I can check that box. I don't think I could be fake even if I tried, or it would come off pretty fake. So I got that one going for me. But out of all of the people that you interviewed in the past, who taught you most about the value of community and what did they have to say?
So there's two quick examples I'm going to give. One is Ellen Yin, who owns a podcast or who owns a company and podcast called Cubicle to CEO. And she really solidified to me that she showed up and served her community through content on her podcast and on social media, really giving them advice. And these are her audiences, people who are leaving the workplace, for years before she started monetizing it. And she really solidified the fact that you have to show up and serve and not worry about the revenue stream at first. And then Jen Sherman from Peloton really taught me how important it is to be authentic. And I knew that Jen was so cool before I even met her. And then when I went into the studio and I met her in real life and I've had lunch with her and, you know, we're friends now, but when I see her in action in the studio, she's real and she's herself. And that is why so many people just love her.
Mm. Be yourself. Okay, I'm taking notes here, Lindsay. So when I'm talking with Lindsay Penchek, who is a successful entrepreneur who now works with businesses to ignite their brand awareness, and when we come back, we will talk about all things social media and how to use it to get your business off the ground.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Members of the House of Representatives departed Washington for the weekend without coming to an agreement on a new spending measure. Hard right conservatives want deeper cuts, and all of this means a government shutdown is likely next month. ABC's Mary Alice Parks has more.
This town is bracing for a government shutdown that seems more and more likely. The Office of Management and Budget at the White House has started telling federal agencies to make their formal plans in the event that that should happen.
The auto workers' strike expanded Friday. Workers took action at 38 Stellantis and GM facilities in 20 states. UAW members say they're calling for better pay and benefits. The car makers say they're asking for too much. Over 53,000 power outages in Virginia and North Carolina as Tropical Storm Ophelia moves through the region. And Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey says he will not resign from the Senate day after he was indicted on federal bribery charges. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Let's go, girls.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm your host, Liza Hallenbrand. Today, I'm speaking with Lindsay Penchuk, who is a successful entrepreneur who now works with businesses to ignite their brand awareness. Lindsay is also the host of Dear Found Her, which has episodes on every topic you could possibly think of when it comes to building your own business. I wanted Lindsay to join me today because I know that many caregivers out there are women and struggle to balance work, life, and their caregiving needs. And many caregivers have either reduced their hours or quit work together. So self-employment is a direction more and more people seem to be going, especially after the COVID-19 pandemic. So I wanted to reach out to one of the most respected women in the self-employment arena and get her take on things. And one of the most crucial parts of having a successful business is marketing and advertising. And many business owners do not give that the attention that it needs. So, Lindsay, can you tell me more about your sweep method you use to generate and execute marketing strategies?
Yes. So first and foremost, you don't need a million followers or $1 million budget to market your business. I built my first company, which ended up being a seven-figure, you know, we generated seven figures in revenue for 6 years straight, the last 6 years I owned it, with no budget. And so I think it's really important to point that out, because there are a lot of things that you can do to drive awareness and to get your brand out there. You just have to be strategic about it. So I realized after I sold my company and I left my company and I decided to start over again, that one of the reasons that my company was successful was because I did not put all my eggs in one basket. We did not only rely on social media, and we very heavily relied on grassroots marketing and organic marketing and partnerships. So when I thought about it, I created this SWEEP acronym, because SWEEP actually stands for social media, your website, your emails, events, partnerships, and publicity. So when you have a message, you want to sweep it through all of those and all of those touch points so that everyone sees it. Someone who's consuming your brand on social media might not be reading your emails, might not be looking at your websites, might not hear like this radio interview is publicity for me. So not everyone is going to hear this of my followers. So, you know, you want to stay true and really sweep your message through all of your touch points with your community. And we talked before about how your community is so important. So that's really where I realized that that's why Bump Club was so successful, because we were taking our content and repurposing it everywhere. And that's what I do today for Dear Founder and for Lindsay Pinchuk Marketing and Consulting. When you see a post of mine on Instagram, you will likely, if you're following me really closely, see a blog post about it on my website. You will probably see it in an email at some point. You will probably see a TikTok if it's on Instagram, or you'll see it on LinkedIn. I really repurpose everything. And by doing that, I save so much time, and I'm not just a content creating machine, which as a business owner, you're not. You need to worry about your bottom line, unless you're a content creator, which that's not my business. So, so that's what SWEEP is.
That was such an aha moment for me when I learned that listening to one of your podcasts to repurpose, like, duh, of course, you know, put it on different places. Don't constantly be trying to recreate. But I have to be honest with you, the whole world of social media, this is where I start to feel old. Where should small businesses start when it comes to social media and creating a social media strategy?
So I think it's very easy to feel overwhelmed by social media, whether it doesn't matter how old you are, but if you have a business you're trying to promote, there are so many different things that you can take on. And so the key is to not worry about being everywhere and being everything to all people at once. So I would pick two social platforms, and I say two because you want to have something to compare it to. And if you're creating content, there's no reason why you can't be repurposing content. So for me, if I were starting over with my business right now, I would probably pick Instagram and LinkedIn, because that's where my community is, you know. And you really have to assess, like, who are you trying to reach and where are they? Like, TikTok might be great for some people. It hasn't proven to be so great for me. So that's a whole other conversation. So I would pick two platforms, and I would really just start sharing. And the way that I always tell my clients is, first and foremost, you share your story. You share your who, what, where, when, and why, and how you're doing things. And you really hone in on sharing your story. And I try to share my story in some way, shape, or form at least once a month. And then I also share stories of how I got to where I am today and why I'm credible. And then what I suggest to all my clients to do is to really pick like 4 to 6 themes, or I call them content buckets, that you're going to post about over and over and over. You're going to fill these buckets every single week. So I have 6 themes that I share about. It's me, my family and my friends, entrepreneurship, marketing, my podcast, and then my offer. So when I sit down to schedule my content, I try to fill each of those buckets every single week so that my content varies, but it's also the same, because you want to be known for something, not known for everything. So when you have themes that you are constantly sweeping through your content, people start recognizing you more for what it is that you stand for and what it is that you do. So that's kind of where I would start. And I think with social media, you just kind of have to grab the handles. And like you asked me earlier in this conversation, just get started and play around and not be afraid and show up and engage. And if even if you post something and you get no likes, who cares? Who cares? It's you practicing and you putting yourself out there. And that is really what you have to do to start.
Makes perfect sense to me. And a lot of them, like on Facebook, isn't that connected to Instagram? Can you automatically post on both?
Yes. So like I actually post on Instagram and it goes to my Facebook page. So yes, you can. I usually change things for like a little bit for LinkedIn or for TikTok or, you know, depending on what it is I'm posting. I will change things around a little bit, but when you've created a piece of content, it's a lot easier to repurpose that content than to start from scratch. So oftentimes like I'll start with an Instagram post or a blog post and I'll really squeeze the juice out of that piece of content. I mean, you can really probably make like 30 pieces of content from one.
And how many do you keep track? How many hours a week do you spend focusing on social media? Do you have times blocked out of your day that's what you do?
I don't keep track, but I do have times blocked. So I usually on like Sunday night and or Monday morning, I try to schedule out content and make sure it's scheduled out for the week, if not two. And then usually throughout the week here and there, I might sit down for an hour here and there, especially if I have an idea. Like I keep a running list of ideas. If I have an idea, I put it on my like little digital notepad. And if I have something I want to post, I'll find some time to sit down and schedule it and post it. Or if something happens that's not evergreen, that's really timely, I might change around my schedule in the moment. And then I would say I usually set aside, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes at night where I just kind of what I call scroll with purpose. And I leave comments, meaningful comments on people's posts that are in my industry and my niche, because that's usually what gets people to notice you and follow you. And it works. So I usually take some time to do that every night, usually before I go to bed. I used to do it in the morning too. And honestly, I did not like waking up and scrolling. Sure. So I really try not to get on my phone now. I usually look at my text first, especially if it's a school day, to make sure like my kid's riding to school or whatever it might be. But I really try not to open up my email or my social media until after my kids leave.
That makes sense. So sometimes those are rabbit holes that can be dangerous to even get out of. What are the most important factors to consider when managing your brand's social media?
One, I would say, is like back what I was saying before, just to be yourself, because at the end of the day, and this is the God's honest truth, is that people want to buy from people. And so you have to put yourself out there in order to sell whatever it is that you're selling. So that is one of the things that I would say is like, be yourself, that this really holds true here. The other thing that I would say is share your offer. And I tell people this all the time. No one knows what you're doing unless you tell them. I'm really and truly like there were times when I was starting this 2.0 of mine that people were like, wait, what is it that you do? How can I hire you? And when I started coming out like once a week and saying, this is what I do and this is how you can hire me, I started getting calls for people to work with me. So you have to remember that not everyone is looking at everything. People don't notice the most of the things that you're noticing, right? Like you'll be like, oh, I posted that like 6 months ago. How can I post that again? Guess what? You can, because no one's going to remember.
Sure.
And, you know, and people are just so consumed with themselves. So don't get caught up in the little minutia of social media. You know, it's not worth it. So I would say those are like kind of big picture things than quote managing your social media. But I would say block off time so that you can work on your social media and make sure that it resonates. And I would say, like, this is just a tactical thing. Get a scheduler. I use Later, which is it's a program that basically manages all of my social media. So I have like my two Instagram accounts, my Facebook account. I used to have Twitter. I don't have Twitter anymore. My LinkedIn is attached to it. And basically when I'm scheduling things, I can like very easily schedule things out on all of those platforms through later, and then they automatically post. And so I don't have to worry about it. And so I think it's really important to have the proper tools set up so that you're not like, oh my God, I got to post, or I got to stop what I'm doing, or whatever it might be. Like once you have a process in place, which is so important, follow that process, because that'll free up so much time for you.
So I have two other questions for you. And I love that. I love that advice. I'm going to go back one step because I had lost my train of thought when I was listening to you before. But when you were talking about the comments, when you comment on, when you do your purposeful scrolling, what kind of things do you comment? Just self-promoting, or is it
self-promoting at all? I'll start conversations. So like if someone, like if there's a social media agency that shares something or shares like a trend, you know, even yesterday on TikTok, there was a TikTok that I thought was horrific, and it was basically promoting using AI to create your content from start to finish, not just for ideation. And I made a comment and I said, I think this is a terrible idea, and I don't understand why you would even suggest this to people, because if everyone uses AI for their content, all of our content's going to look the same. And it was, you know, it was definitely a controversial comment, and I'm sure she wasn't happy with me about it, but it started a conversation. So, you know, I get in the conversation, or I start the conversation. So I usually comment on like marketing posts, social media posts, social media agencies, other female founders. I only comment if it strikes a chord with me. I'm not fake about it, right?
Sure. So then people read that comment and they say, who is this Lindsay Pinchuk? And then they click on you, and then they follow you, and then now you've got yourself another follower.
And I've had some big creators pin my comments before. You know, I don't always post controversially, but you know, I supported something that someone said the other day that started a conversation, and she has a huge social media following, and this woman's account is purely Instagram growth, and she pinned my comment. So now it's at the top of this post. And if anyone sees it, there I am, you know, and so people see it and they click through, and that's how people see you to follow you.
That makes sense. And how has social media helped catapult your business in real life?
You know, I started this before social media was a thing. And so I really have seen this come to fruition and come full circle. Right. So I would say that social media, you have to leverage it to the best of your ability. It's a free tool. And when I was first starting my business, we were so local. We were in Chicago. And as social media grew, and as we started putting ourselves out there on Facebook and then Instagram and other forms of social media, you know, it really helped to grow our business to a national presence. And that's when we saw, like, that's when we got noticed by Target, Nordstrom, etc.
You know what? I'm gonna push you right to the end and drive Nate crazy, but I want to make sure that I get your information out there. Your website, how people can contact you. What do you have coming up next? As quickly as you can.
Yes, you can find me at lindsaypinchuk.com or at lindsaypinchuk on Instagram, LindsayPinchuk, or Dear Found Her. And you can find all of my resources there. I have free downloads, a ton of information. You can DM me. It is me that responds.
Wonderful. And I'll make sure to repeat those later. But thank you so much, Lindsay, for spending time with me today.
are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. And I just was speaking with Lindsay Pinchuk, who is a successful entrepreneur and now spends her time helping other women entrepreneurs get off the ground. If you missed the show, you're going to want to hear it from the beginning. You can find it replays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Also, replays out on the on the weekends. If you go to civicmedia.us, you can find your channel and your time to hear it on the weekends. And she had such great advice about starting a business and using social media. And I was jotting down notes as she was talking, and I thought, wow, there really is a lot of parallels here to caregiving. One, I asked, how does she do it all? And she says she doesn't. She asks for help. I mean, same goes true for caregiving. You know, you have to be willing to ask for help. There's people that are out there that love you and care about you and want to help you, and there's no shame in it. So glad to see that that holds true in the professional world as well. And also, you need your community. She was talked in length about building the community and in relying on your community to help you with your business. Same goes true for caregiving. You know, you need your community, you need your tribe, which kind of brought to the third point, which was to be yourself. And that goes without saying. So wonderful guest. Glad that I had her on. Next week, I will be talking with the COO of Summit Credit Union about inequity in pay for women and how caregiving impacts your finances and what you can do to get financially ahead